Anyway, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. There's a couple of urgent prayer requests, and I don't know if you all took prayer requests tonight or not, but Danielle's grandmother, Helen is her name. She's in the hospital tonight. She's very, very sick. She needs our prayers. And also little Gabriel Ziatone has pneumonia, and he's in the hospital tonight. And I just want us to remember Dave Geiselman's mom, Gloria, in prayer tonight. So let's just, is there any other requests, or did y'all take requests? You did? Okay. Well, let's just pray about these three before we go on tonight and ask God to touch our class tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your presence that we feel in this sanctuary tonight. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for the privilege of calling upon you in prayer. And Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, we just pray that you would be with Helen tonight, Lord, Danielle's grandmother. They've given her not very long to live, but Lord, she's a saint of God and she's ready to meet you. And Father, we just pray that your will would be done in her life, but that you would comfort Danielle's family and comfort Helen right now in your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for little Gabriel's eye tone tonight in the name of Jesus, that you would lay your hand upon this little boy, Lord, who's so precious. Father, I pray that you would clear his lungs and touch his body and just let JoJo feel your presence right now, Lord, and minister unto her and her family. Father, tonight also we will pray for Dave's mother, Gloria, Father. Touch her in the name of Jesus. You know the situation. You know what needs to be done. And Lord, we're seeing your hand move, and we give you all praise and honor and glory tonight. For Father, you're answering prayer. And oh God, how we worship you tonight. Thank you for this wonderful presence of your Spirit that we're feeling right now. Father, may the cares of the day just fade to the background. And Holy Spirit, we ask for you to come and open up the Word of God to us. We ask for your anointing to rest upon this time tonight. You come and you be the teacher, Holy Spirit of God. Expound the Word of God to us. Open up its treasures. Lord, encourage troubled hearts tonight. Oh, we've come into your house tonight, Father, to receive from you. And Lord, we know that you never turn us away. Hallelujah. You never turn us away. Oh, we give you glory tonight. Glory to the Lamb of God. In Christ's holy name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 tonight. We're going to do a little bit of review tonight. And we want to see how Paul is showing us two different lifestyles here in these first 10 verses of Romans chapter 8. He's showing us, first of all, that if you live in the Spirit, you let your life be ordered by the Holy Spirit, here's what's going to happen. He's further showing us, beginning in verse 6, that if you put your faith in something else other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, here's what's going to start to happen in your life. And he is delineating the difference to show us what a glorious walk with God that the cross gives us, faith in the cross gives us. And when he's talking about our walk with the Lord, he's literally talking about how we order our spiritual life. Or as we've discussed before, which government are we going to allow our life to be placed under? Are we going to allow it to be placed under the government of grace and live under that government? Or are we going to allow it to be placed under the government of law, which will bring sin and death to the believer and condemnation to the believer? But placing it under the government of grace, which is faith in the finished work of the cross, the Holy Spirit is then going to produce in our lives Christ-likeness, peace, and joy, and he's going to give us victory over our sin nature. So with that in mind, let's go to Romans chapter 8 and begin at verse 1. Just want to review here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now you have that word walk. That's pertaining to how we order our spiritual life, which government we're going to live under. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, he's outlining here's what the Holy Spirit will produce in our lives. He'll produce victory. He'll produce peace. He'll produce joy. He'll produce the personality of Christ in us. And I like what the Word says as I was studying this. I didn't bring this out when we were teaching on it. But it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Something needs to be added to that, too. There is also no self-exaltation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you say, what do you mean by that? Many times, if we're not careful as believers, when we experience a great victory, or we begin to walk by faith, placing our faith in the finished work of the cross, it's such a wonderful thing to have happen to us, that if we're not careful, we'll begin to think, we did something to earn that. We did something to earn that standing before God. We did something to earn all of these wonderful feelings that we have. And that's the other side of the coin, so to speak. We must always anchor our faith in Christ and Him crucified and know that the standing we have before God, we didn't gain it. As long as we keep our faith in Jesus Christ, we did not gain it by our own efforts. And as long as we keep our faith in Jesus Christ, we cannot lose it. Glory to God. In other words, we didn't do nothing to put us there, and we didn't do nothing through our own power, I'm saying. We didn't do nothing through human effort that got us there, and we'll do nothing through human effort that'll take it away from us. The key being, we must keep Christ and Him crucified as the focus of our faith. And when we do that, we're in the Spirit. Our life is then being ordered. Our walk, as Paul uses the word, our walk with God is now being ordered and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. And that, my brothers and sisters, is nothing short of absolute glory. When you begin to live and walk that way, knowing that every morning you wake up, I am a child of the Most High God. I don't have to do nothing to earn His love or to earn His favor. He loves me just because of Jesus. And I am cleansed in the blood of Jesus. I am adopted into His family. I am His son, His daughter, and He has nothing but good things planned toward me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost in that tonight. That's life in the Spirit. That's life in the Spirit. Please don't let somebody try and give you a 10-step program or 7 keys on how to do it, okay? Because it can't be done that way. God designed this thing to work by faith. The just shall live by faith, the book of Romans tells us. So that's life in the Spirit. Now let's go on to verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And you remember when we were on that? The law had no ability to produce righteousness in you and I. But faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the Holy Spirit is now free to work in us, and He will produce Jesus in us. He will produce righteousness in us. Now let's go on to verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. There's that word walk again. And what is walking after the flesh? What is walking after the flesh? Somebody tell me. Got any idea on that? What does it mean to walk after the flesh? Well, you said it. Walk what you feel. In other words, you're going your own direction, having your life ordered by something other than your faith in the finished work of the cross. That's being in the flesh. And so many believers live their life that way, and they experience so little true victory and true peace and true joy of the Holy Spirit that if you're living your Christian experience that way, it's very easy for Satan to begin to make you doubt. He will try to make you doubt that you're even saved. You're even saved. And one of the great things we're going to bring out in tonight's study is that the Holy Spirit Himself will bear witness to us that we are the children of God if we'll put our faith in Jesus Christ and keep it there. In other words, the Holy Spirit seals us at the point we're saved, and He bears witness to us directly. That, in other words, He reminds us continually, you are a child of God. Your sins are washed away. You have right standing with God. You have peace with God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is glorious. And when you walk, when your life is ordered by that kind of thinking and that kind of knowledge,
oh, the wonderful things that start to be produced in us. And people start to see us walking around with joy in our hearts. Even when we're going through a trial. And sometimes God allows us to go through trials. But my, when the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on us, even in trial, the world is watching and they're seeing Jesus. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, oh, the king came and hollered for him the next morning. Said, Daniel, are you there? He said, O king, live forever. The God whom I serve has preserved me. Hallelujah. And all the world around saw the power of God because of that trial that Daniel went through. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. Oh, I love how the Word records it. Before they were thrown in there, they had faith. Faith is everything with God. And their great faith was exemplified in their statement. O King, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. But if not, but if not, He will deliver us out of your hand. Woo! Satan, faith like that just drives Satan crazy. You know it? Because that's walking in the Spirit. That's having your life ordered with the knowledge that God loves me. And that I have right standing with God, and everything that is happening in my life because of God's character. God is a good God. He's going to see that everything is going to work out okay for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we know this 8th chapter of Romans tells us in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And who are the called according to His purpose? Each and every one who's having their life ordered by the Holy Spirit because of their faith in the finished work of the cross. Woo, that's victorious living, church! And when the world sees that, that's when they see a difference. That's when they see Jesus in us, carrying us through the trials. In the short time I've been your pastor, I've watched some of you all go through trials. And it's been a joy for me to see that you haven't hung your head. That many of you have squared your shoulders and said just that. The God I serve is a good God. And He's going to bring me through. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. There, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this tonight. I feel the preach coming on tonight. He will make you victorious. He guarantees our victory in every situation. Not just in some, but all of them. Hallelujah. And you may be thinking, well, But man, I may have failed this way or that way, and what are they all going to think about me? Or what's the, even though it wasn't my fault, maybe my child's out doing this or that, and what are they going to think about me? Who cares what anybody thinks about you but God? Ain't nobody going to change God's opinion of you if your faith is in Jesus. Hallelujah! And as long as God is saying you're my child, as long as God is saying you're righteous, as long as God is saying you're holy, where do we care what anybody else thinks? Glory to God. That's victory. Hallelujah. That's what this 8th chapter of Romans verses 1 through 5 is showing us. Here's what God will give you if you believe Him right. Woo! Glory to God. Well, I don't know about you all, but I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Woo! Okay, let's go on to verse 5 now. For they who are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That means if your faith is not in the finished work of the cross, you're going to be in the flesh, and the focus of your faith is going to be on things other than Christ and Him crucified. And then the Holy Spirit is not going to be ordering your life. Your life is going to be ordered by law, and there'll be a constant condemnation there. There'll be a constant feeling of guilt there, like, I don't measure up. It's like the poor apostolic brothers and sisters who, they're saved. They're saved, but they are the most miserable people you'll ever want to meet. They are. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say apostolics? Carly, you came out of an apostolic background, didn't you? I mean, they put so much condemnation on people. They preach Christ and Him crucified in His blood to cleanse from sin. They'll get saved. They'll get people saved. And then they just turn them into a miserable wreck after that. You say, how can that be? It's because they tell them that if their dresses ain't long enough or if their hair ain't high enough or if they're not doing this or that. And it's like when you get into a works-based mentality, the human spirit can never feel like I've done enough. Because the human spirit knows it cannot do enough to make itself right with God through human efforts. You can lower your dress. I've had dear sisters who I knew came out of the apostolic movement who said I would lay at the altar and just cry and plead and beg God for hours that maybe He wouldn't cast me out for something I've done or for my dress. Maybe I didn't wear it long enough one day or something like that. Now think of what condemnation that is. But man, when you're in Christ, hallelujah, when you're in Christ and the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness that you're mine. You're mine. And I don't care. I need to say it better than that. God does care about the length of your skirt. If you're wearing it so short that everybody can see everything, then something's wrong, okay? But the point being is, and here's where man comes in, the good old Church of God. Oh, the good old Church of God came up with these wonderful practical commitments. And they're going to put these practical commitments on the wall and make everybody abide by them. My goodness. Heaven help us. We can't make nobody live right. I don't care. All we're doing is putting more folks under law. But when you get them in the Holy Ghost, when you teach people, as this book of Romans teaches, your correct position in Christ Jesus by faith, you're going to wear your dress the right length. Well, nobody has to tell you not to do it, because the Holy Spirit Himself is now ordering our lives. Hallelujah! But it brings such condemnation on people when they're in the flesh and they're trying to fulfill law and trying to fulfill what religion tells them to do and say, if you do this, God will accept you. Oh, God accepts us based solely on the merit and on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if your faith is in that, my brothers and sisters, you're walking in the Holy Ghost. You can't help but walk in the Holy Ghost. He will see to it. If your faith is in the right place, your life will be ordered by the Holy Ghost. And that's what Paul is so beautifully showing forth here in verses 1 through 5. Okay? So if we mind the things of the flesh, we'll be after the flesh. But they who are after the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. In other words, their concern is that their faith is in the cross of Christ and that the Holy Spirit is producing Christ in them. And when you're there, it'll happen. You won't have to labor for it. People all around you just be noticing all the growth that's going on in your life and God being glorified. And they say, what are you doing? Are you reading the purpose-driven life, or are you reading this book or that book, or what book are you reading? Because I'm seeing all kind of change happen in your life. You say, I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. And that's producing great things in my life. And that's what Paul has outlined here in verses 1 through 5. This is life in the Spirit. This is the Spirit-controlled life. This is the Spirit-directed life. And it's beautiful and it's glorious. And that's God. How many of you know God has not designed our Christian experience to be some dull, boring, listless, lifeless experience? But He wants us knowing every morning we wake up and our eyes fly open that we are nothing short of a living, breathing miracle. Every day, not just every breath we take, those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it's a miracle. Nothing short of a miracle. Never forget you're a walking, breathing, talking miracle. By God's grace, you're that miracle. But a miracle nonetheless. And that's the glory that's shown forth here in verses 1 through 5. Okay, now let's go to verse 6. Now Paul is going to begin to show us, look, if you order your life after the Spirit, this glorious experience with God takes place. If you're going to order your life after the flesh, here's what's going to start to happen. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now to be carnally minded, again, is placing our faith in something other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's trying to secure our sanctification through human effort. In other words, what do you mean by sanctification? Hopefully we've covered that enough by now, but I'll touch on it. It means trying to produce righteousness in us by our own effort. Can't be done. We cannot produce righteousness in our lives through human effort. And oh, we try valiantly sometimes. And we set up law, don't we? Well, I'm righteous because I don't go to this movie. I'm righteous because my dress is a certain length. I'm righteous because I do this or that. And all that leads us under law. We're righteous for one reason and one reason only. Our faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that has redeemed us from the curse of sin, that has redeemed us from sin's power. And the life, Paul said it best in Galatians 2, verses 20 through 22, or 21, the life I now live, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who shed His blood and gave His life for me. Hallelujah. That's victorious Christian living. And that's what's culminating now here in chapter 8. Everything we've learned in chapter 6 and 7, hopefully is coming, you're seeing it come to fruition here as we study chapter 8 here. And Paul again in the first 5 verses shows us, here's what will happen if you live after the Spirit. But if you're carnally minded, it's going to bring death to you. And that's not physical death, of course. It's speaking of spiritual death, the same spiritual death he was referring to back over in Romans chapter 7 when he said, when sin revived, I died. In other words, I went back, I lost my victory. I lost my joy. I lost my peace. I lost that intimate feeling with God because I was trying to earn it all of a sudden. I was doing something, I put my faith somewhere other than the cross of Christ. And as hard as I was trying to live for God, I knew in my heart I was still failing. But oh, when we put and keep our faith in that finished work of the cross, it cannot be overstated enough. It cannot be overstated enough because it's so easy for us to forget it. God declares us righteous. And the Holy Spirit makes us clean and sanctifies us. Only through the Spirit can this be done. It cannot ever be accomplished through human effort. And the very second we try to do it, the entire process will come to a grinding halt. The Holy Spirit will not withdraw His presence from us, but He will withdraw His power in aiding us to live a holy life for God. And you say, what? Why would He do that? Because if we think we're accomplishing it, He will withdraw His presence. If we think it's being accomplished because of something we're doing or something we're not doing, we're in effect saying to God, I don't need the help of Your Holy Spirit. I can do this on my own. You know, it's like little kids. I get tickled at Taryn Austin right now. They're getting that independent age. Used to be they wanted us around for everything. Now, so those of you that are parents, I know you'll identify with this. Used to be, man, they wanted us right there when anything was going on. I mean, when we first came to this church, Austin would not dare. We're not there. Tara would a little bit. She's a little bit more adventurous than him. But Austin would not dare leave our side to go over to the Agape Center on his own. Okay? But now, we've been here for a while. He knows all you all now. Like he told Mary Sylvie, do you know whose son I am? No. He really didn't mean it the way it said. Well, maybe in a sense he did. I don't want to make... Well, he was over in the Agape Center, and he wanted to come on back over here on his own. And, you know, they watch the kids over there, okay? And don't want to let them go, thankfully, until a parent comes and gets them. And usually Pastor Candy, she knows we're hung up over here, so she'll watch our kids for us until she can walk over with them. Well, she was busy that day and had assigned Austin to Mary, Sylvie. And Austin was ready to come, you know. And he'd asked her several times, hey, I want to go. And Mary said, no, I can't let you go. And finally he said, do you know whose son I am? But in any event, the point I'm making here by telling you the story is that that better be God calling, whoever that is. I'm just kidding. The point I'm making is that he became comfortable in his environment here. So therefore he felt like, I got it down. I don't need you. I don't need you anymore, Mom and Dad. Well, sometimes we're like that in our spiritual walk with God. We've been saved for a while. Know all about the cross. You know? Okay, God, I got it down now. I can live holy on my own. And God says, no, you can't. And we had to spank Austin. Oh, you spank your children, you better believe I spank them. I love them. I don't abuse them, but I do spank them when they need it. And there were several times that Austin slipped over here, scared the youth workers to death. Slipped over here on his own, you know, and they're like, where's Austin, you know? And we had to tell him, you don't leave, you know, and do nothing on your own. But that's, isn't that a lot how we are with God, though, sometimes? We become comfortable with him, and we think, well, yeah, I've been to church. I've been saved for a while now. I got it all down, you know. I got this holy thing down. Well, I speak in tongues. Well, I'm a Pentecostal, you know. And then all of a sudden, God has to take us out and show us and remind us, you can do nothing outside of me. You're hopeless to live right without my power, without my help. And that's what Romans, right here in Romans verse 6, is telling us. For to be carnally minded is death. You know, you're going to lose your peace and fellowship with God. God's going to see to it you lose that. Why? That's how he's spanking us and saying, get back to the cross. Get back to the cross. You can't do it on your own. You know, another thing, too, I thought about, is, and it's so true, I heard this illustration. It's a good illustration because, again, I don't know why I'm going to little Austin tonight, but I'll use him again. Sometimes when Bonnie and Tara are in the stores shopping, you know, which can go on, Tara has learned to shop. You know, her mommy has taught her well. Doesn't bother her. Her and Ravonna can go in the mall and not come out for days, you know. And me and Austin are sitting out in the car playing games or playing checkers. But sometimes if it's late at night and the parking lots aren't real crowded, now your pastor's a bit in sin here, so I'll take him out there to the edge of the parking lot. There's a lot of space, and I'll set him on my lap, and I'll kind of let him put his hand on the wheel and drive for a little bit, you know. And him not knowing that I've got my hands on the lower part of that wheel. You know, and Austin just thinks, hey, I'm driving this truck. You know, so sometimes it's like that for us with God, too. You know, God will let us think we're the one driving. But thank God he's still got his hands on the wheel of our life. Amen. We're sitting on his lap. And we may think we're the one who's gotten it, and he lets us, I think, at times, you know, to build us up in him, think, wow, I'm doing good, you know. As long as we know it's his hands on the bottom of the wheel that's allowing us to do good. Amen? Because the second he takes his hand off of that wheel and we're left our own device, whew, our life's going to go all over the place. Okay? So that's two good illustrations of what Paul's talking about here in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In other words, the Holy Spirit is continually. You know, we hear, let me finish my statement first. The Holy Spirit is then continually imparting the life of Christ to you and I. It's not just a one-time event. If we're not careful, and I know I've lived most of my Christian life like this until about 5 years ago. I looked at the cross of Christ, and I was grateful for it. Eternally grateful for it. But I looked at it as a one-time event in my life. It was his shed blood that cleansed me and saved me, and I praise God. I'm grateful for it. Now I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a stalwart for Jesus Christ. And it don't take you long to find out that you're not much of a stalwart. Without the aid of the Holy Spirit, we can't live right. That's what makes this Christian experience so supernatural, is that it involves the power of God, not just when we were saved, but the life of Christ is being imparted to us continually. There is a continual refreshing flow of the Holy Spirit into the believer who has his faith continually in Christ and him crucified, knowing, Jesus, it's all because of you. It's all because of you. That's why the Bible says, Paul wrote it, in him we live and breathe and have our being. In Christ. In Christ is the key phrase. If we're in Christ, that life that he poured out at Calvary is continually flowing into you and I. Isn't that amazing to think about? That's supernatural, folks. That is altogether glorious. Hallelujah. So to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, what is being spiritually minded? keeping your faith in the cross of Christ. I hope you're seeing how Paul's tying together here everything he's taught us in Romans 6 and 7. Remember, let's go all the way back to chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. When we put our faith in Christ, we were baptized into His death. We were baptized into His burial. And we were baptized into His resurrection. Hallelujah. And there's the new life. There's where the new life starts. And it doesn't stop, glory to God. It's not a one-time event. It's living water. That's why Jesus called the Holy Spirit living water. Water where it's flowing all the time. Hallelujah. And no matter what you're going through on the darkest day of your life, you can stand and declare, I am a child of the Most High God. Victory is God's mandate for me. I will never be defeated. I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus has made me victorious. I am going to choose to walk in that victory. I'm going to choose to stand. And somehow, some way, out of this tragedy that's going on right now, because I am a child of the Most High God, He's going to get glory out of it. He's going to bring victory out of it. He's going to give me a testimony out of it. I'm going to make it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! That's faith. That's faith. And God will always honor that kind of faith. Oh, speak words of faith. Oh, I hadn't planned to get off on this, but I feel the Holy Ghost so prodding me there tonight. The Bible says, having done all, stand. Stand, therefore. Stand. Hallelujah. Stand in what? God's not asking us to stand on by our own. Because when He's saying stand, the word in the Greek text is literally a plural verb. It means you're not standing around, in other words. There's somebody standing with you when you take that stand. And His hands are at the wheel, hallelujah. And He's holding you up. He's got His hand behind you. And He said, I'm not going to let you fall. My power is going to sustain you through this. And all glory to God, when you're going through that trial and foul-mouthed believers, whoever they might be, are saying, well, this is happening to you because you did this or that, and trying to drag you down, don't you listen to them. God has not changed His opinion of you. God will never change His opinion of you. He has declared you holy and righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, and He's going to see you through. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God. Speak words of faith. Heaven shouts when we speak faith. That's why we're feeling it right now. The angels are shouting right now because they're saying that little bunch down there in Christ Chapel tonight, they're talking about faith in the Son of God. They're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's real. Hallelujah. It's real. He'll help you. He's going to see you through. Well, glory to God. I don't know how on earth we got off on all that. But okay, let's go to verse 7 now. Yeah, it's like verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, what's being said there, if you're thinking carnally, and we've defined what a carnal mind is, a carnal mind is one who's trusting in something other than Christ and Him crucified. Okay? Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. Now think of that. That's an awesome statement. That's saying when we don't place our faith and keep it in Christ and Him crucified, we actually pit ourselves against God. Now think of that. What's being said there? We're actually pitting ourselves against God and saying, God, we don't need Your plan. I formulated one of my own, and oh my, it is so glorious, God, because I'm going to read my Bible 4 hours a day. I'm going to be praying the other 3 hours a day. I'm not demeaning Bible reading and prayer. They're wonderful. Every believer who's walking in the Spirit is going to do those things. But it doesn't matter how long we do them. It doesn't matter. Bless me, as Dwayne and Carolyn, we had to go to a meeting, a state meeting. They have Woody's his name, right? Their friend. They say he prays 8 hours a day sometimes. You know, seeking God. He's an intercessor. He's been called to intercessory prayer. And that's beautiful. That's wonderful. But I'm sure Woody would be the first one to tell you that 8 hours of prayer don't earn him any more merit with God than the person who's praying 1 hour a day. God loves them both the same. Okay? And sometimes that's what we do. We formulate our plan of holiness and righteousness, and we hold that up before God, and that's being carnally minded. And we're actually pitting ourselves against God because what we're in effect saying is, again, I don't need the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't need the cross of Christ and my faith in that God. I've got a way that will glorify me. And that's so much of the teaching we hear in Christian circles. That think of it. When you listen to it on TV, think of how many times people hold themselves up as the example. Think of how many teachers you hear on TV, and I listen to a lot of them myself, because I want to know what's out there. I want to know what's... You want me to share one with you? Nobody said nothing. I'll go on then. I believe I'll do it anyway. Now here's the new one. This is Juanita Bynum lady, who you've heard me talk about before. She was on a tear the other day. She was at this Woman Dollar at Loose conference that T.D. Jakes has down in Dallas, okay? And I tuned the show in a little bit late, so I don't know, didn't get the full gist of what she was talking about, but it was evident that she had some kind of disagreement with T.D. Jakes. Did anybody else see this by any chance? In any event, this woman had some kind of disagreement with T.D. Jakes. I guess she started in his church, and he helped her get started in her ministry or whatever, and she was in this huge platform, probably 10,000 ladies there in this assembly in Dallas. Did you see it, Debbie? You're shaking your head. Oh, okay. But in any event, and she's just going on about how she left her spiritual father, speaking of T.D. Jakes, how she left her spiritual father and all these other things that she thought she could do on her own without him, and she's repenting of this. And here's all these women out in the audience just crying and going on something awful over her calling T.D. Jakes her spiritual father. Then, that's not the worst of it. Then, as she closes her sermon, she runs over and falls on her knees in front of him, wraps her arms around his leg and is weeping uncontrollably, begging him for forgiveness. Saying, you know, she's crying out, I've sinned against my spiritual father. I've sinned against my spiritual father. Now, here's the kicker. T.D. Jakes puts his hand on her head and says, daughter, thy sins be forgiven me. That's where we are in the church today. And there's a whole stadium full of people, and I'm not throwing off on women, it just happened to be a women's conference. Whole stadium full of women, they're putting the cameras on them, they're just there boo-hooing and crying and, oh, just carrying on something awful. That's pure flesh. That's pure flesh. God does not glory in the flesh. I don't care how many reverend, doctor, bishops, pastors, whatever, how many titles you want to put in front of your name, it don't impress God one little bit. And if it's not glorifying God, run from it, folks. Run from it. Don't buy into foolishness like that. These people are glorifying themselves and not Christ. They're setting themselves up to be super apostles and super teachers and super whatever. And there's no such thing before God, Almighty God. And all to watch it, to the untrained spiritual eye, you would have thought, what humility. Because, oh, they were just all trying to be so humble. And I think of that. This guy, and I'm not taking him out of context. I wouldn't do that to nobody. I mean, what Juanita Bynum did was bad enough. But then this guy absolves her of her sins. Now think of that. That's carnally minded. That's being carnally minded. And so much of the teaching we get in the church nowadays, it glorifies a man or a ministry or a gift and not Christ. That's why Paul told the church at Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the world, after the traditions of men, and not after Christ. And that word spoil there in the Greek text means make a shipwreck of your correct faith in Christ. Beware lest any man spoil you. If who you're listening to is not leading you to Jesus Christ, run from them. If I ever start to lead you anywhere other than to Jesus Christ, I recommend you get out of this church and go find you another one. Because Christ is the only one who can help anybody out. And He's not into all of this grandiose, glorious, religious parade that we see going on TV most of the time. Let me tell you something. Oh, hallelujah. give me what we're feeling in this church tonight over all the hype that TV could ever come up with. I want to feel His presence. I want the real thing, and I believe you do too. And that's why God has given it to us. That's why, oh hallelujah, I cannot help it but to shout and thank God for it. And I know, I know it's nothing nobody's doing. It's because of our faith. I was talking to Brother Ted earlier today. The reason God's doing what He's doing in this church is because the Holy Spirit is bringing us into a unity of faith. A unity around the person of Jesus Christ. For there are no stars in this church except one. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost will flow through that. The Holy Ghost will touch lives through that. And we'll be blessed for that. Hallelujah. I want the blessing of God. I want the blessing of God. And Jesus is a blesser. Hallelujah. And if we'll come together as a body and put our faith in Him, there is no limit. There is no limit to what the Holy Ghost will do. That's coming in the unity of the faith. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So that's being spiritually minded. Keeping your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go on to verse 7. Or the carnal mind is at enmity with God. That's where we're verse 7. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And he's just the law of God that's been spoken of here is the law of life in Christ Jesus, not the law of the Old Testament. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what you're pitting yourself against. If you don't keep your faith in Christ and Him crucifying, you begin to think you're accomplishing something through human effort. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And again, being in the flesh, trying to gain our own sanctification, trying to work for our standing with God through whatever we may do. We need to read that again. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's another awesome statement. You see the difference Paul's making between life in the Spirit and life in the flesh. He's contrasting the two. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, God ain't happy with you. He's not happy with me. If I put my faith in something other than Jesus Christ, because we learned back over in Romans 7, what is that? For the believer to put his faith in something other than Christ. Remember what the Word called it? Had a name for it over in Romans 7. Spiritual adultery. Yes, Ted. You said it. Spiritual adultery. You're joining what belongs, should belong, exclusively to Jesus Christ. And you're joining it to something else other than Him. And you're not going to please God when you do that. And the Holy Spirit, if you ever do that, and I've done it millions of times, I'd shamefully admit, in my walk with Christ, I haven't done it so much over the last 3 years, though, as I've learned this message of the cross, but before then, I did it a million times. I would join my faith or my trust in something else and think, ooh, man, I'm moving on now because I'm doing X, whatever you want to insert there. And it wouldn't be very long before I would begin to feel the peace and the joy ebbing away out of my life. And the Holy Spirit does that. Why? Again, to drive us back to the cross. God knows if we live that way, you see, we literally feel His displeasure with how we're living. If we've got our faith in something other than Christ and Him crucified, we will literally feel as believers the displeasure of God in what we're doing. He's going to let us know because He loves us. He knows our only hope of victory, our only hope of right living, is through the power of the Spirit. And can I tell us this tonight? There, the biggest cheerleader we got is Almighty God. The biggest cheerleader you've got in your life is Jesus Christ. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. They stand in the portals of glory to cheer believers on and say, yeah, go this way, go this way. But if we go any other way, we lose favor. We will literally feel the displeasure of God. I heard a great illustration just the other day. And it's so true. Got a key here.
Okay? This is a key over to my office in the Agape Center. Now, I took it off my keychain. I've got about 7 or 8 keys on that key ring. But out of all those 7 or 8 keys, and they're all keys, this is the only one that'll open the door to that Agape Center. I can try as hard as I want to use my car. It's a key. And bless God, it's going to work. Because I'm confessing it. I can have whatever I say. And I'll be standing outside in the cold outside the Agape Center. Just stand there. Boy, what an act of faith that is, huh? Well, I'm going to get in here one way. But when I use the key that's made for that lock, the door opens. So it is with our faith in the cross of Christ. When we keep our faith there, we have perfect communion and fellowship with God. When we shift it to anything else, we displease God, and He's going to let us know about it. That's what verse 8 is telling us. Verse 9, good news though. Paul is writing to believers, and he says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And that's what he's telling the Roman church. Is that you have the Spirit of God indwelling you. Now, you know, of all the things that we have studied in this book of Romans, it still amazes me to think that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God lives on the inside of me. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of us. And that's what Paul is telling them here. That's why you're not in the flesh. Because the Spirit is indwelling you. You're holding the correct object of faith. And Christ and Him crucified. And the Holy Spirit is now indwelling your very life. And He's not just sitting idly there. Sometimes we get the idea, I fear, that, well, the Holy Spirit's there and He's just, praise God, He's in there. But He is continually active. He's not just on the inside of us doing nothing. He is continually sorting through stuff and giving illumination and giving revelation. He's continually saying, we need to throw this out. We need to get rid of this. He's continually leading us and showing us more about Jesus Christ. That's awesome, folks. And not only that, when we come up against the powers of darkness, when we come up against the powers of darkness, He rises up within us against them. If we have our faith in the cross of Christ, He will go out and fight. The Lord will fight for you. Hallelujah. That's what all those Old Testament examples are all about when time after time after time, it looked like Israel had no hope and no way out, and she didn't in her own self. But then the Spirit of God would come up. The Spirit of God would begin to move. And He would bring victory in situation after situation where there seemed to be no hope. As we're closing the class tonight, God, again, I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me to put that across tonight. That is exactly how the Holy Spirit still operates in your and I's life. When the enemy comes in against us and we stand there pitiful and we become fearful and think, oh God, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this one, Lord? It seems like, Father, there's no way out of this one. Then the Holy Spirit comes up and rises up in us and He says, I'm going to go fight for you. And He imparts then the victory that Jesus Christ has won on the cross and then reminds the believer, you are victorious because I have made you victorious. You are my child. Stand up. Quit whimpering. Quit crying. And believe me and watch what I do for you. That's faith. And you know, it's a kind of faith that we don't have as humans. So much of the faith teaching today leads us to a place to where they're saying you've got to work to get this kind of faith. And if you can work hard enough, you'll achieve the level of faith I've achieved and you'll have all I've got.
There's not a human born. There's not a human born that has the right kind of faith. And except the blessed Holy Spirit even give that to us, we are so utterly helpless. He's dwelling inside of us. And He quickens the Word of God in our hearts to remind us. That's why it is important that the believer read his Bible and know it. That's why we're seeing so much junk in the church today, is because there is such biblical illiteracy. There's such biblical illiteracy in the body of Christ. That's how false teaching can flourish. Because if you know a little bit about your Word, the Holy Spirit is then going to lead you into truth. And when somebody begins to teach junk, He's going to rise up in you. And He's going to let you know that's not right. But He won't remind you of something you don't know. He won't just through osmosis put something into your mind as it pertains to the Word of God. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. That's true. But He won't remind you of something you've never had in your mind in the first place. And God will give us the faith. That's an act of mercy on His part. I want to say that again. Quit trying to get the faith you need and believe God to give it to you. Because He'll do that. He even gives us the faith to come to Him. Let me tell you, each and every one of us, we would not be saved had God not first given us the faith to come to Jesus. It's called prevenient grace. He gives you just enough faith to believe the gospel message. What a God. And not only then does He just give you the faith, but when, and I know, I feel in my spirit, and I don't want to try to be ultra super duper spiritual and sound that way. I know in my heart there's several of you that are going through some trials tonight, but I'm talking to even more than some of you that I don't know the trial that you're in, is what I'm trying to say. Don't try to work up the faith to get through it, because you can't do it. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, by the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you, if you'll ask Him, He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. He'll give you faith to believe Him. That's how the gift of faith operates. One of the nine gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you faith you don't have. Wow! Wow! And when He gives you that faith, all of a sudden, you stand where you felt like I couldn't make it one more step. But now the Holy Spirit has energized you. Glory to God. And He makes you believe. He reminds you who you are and who you belong to. Because when there's no faith there, it's merely because we've forgotten whose we are. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that your elder brother has already defeated every power of darkness that is ever going to come against you? Have you forgotten that He said all power? All power under heaven and earth is given unto Me. Have you forgotten that He said, I'm coming back? Woo-hoo! Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this tonight. This is pure unmitigated joy, isn't it, church? Man, oh man, I don't believe in that silly laughing stuff that's going on in my soul right now. Hallelujah. And I feel the Holy Ghost giving. Let's stand to our feet right now. Glory to God. Father, I don't know what we've done tonight, but I know it's been ordered by Your Spirit, and that's all that matters anyway. God wants to give some of you tonight fresh faith. And you say, why would He do it for me? Because He loves you. Because He loves you. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Fresh faith. You're going through a terrible trial right now. And oh, I know the Holy Ghost wants somebody reminded of this. I've said it several times tonight, but I feel Him lead me to say it again. All that matters is what God thinks about you. I want to say that again. All that matters is what God thinks about you. And nothing, nothing, this eighth chapter of Romans, if we ever get to it, it's going to teach us that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. In other words, God ain't going to change His mind about you. God ain't going to change His mind about you. Man might change his mind about you. Church may change its mind about you. But God is never going to change His mind about you. You're always going to be the apple of His eye. As long as your faith is in Christ, you're always going to be the apple of His eye. You're always going to be His son or daughter, and He's always going to brag on you. And He'll give you the fresh faith you need tonight to face whatever you're going through. And He may not deliver you from it, but He will deliver you in it if He doesn't deliver you from it. He's not limited. Oh, hallelujah. God is not limited. God Almighty is not limited. Don't forget tonight whose you belong to. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, pour out fresh faith upon every soul tonight that's in a fiery furnace, spiritually speaking. On every soul that's in a lion's den tonight. Oh God, pour out fresh faith upon us tonight. A faith that only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. A faith we cannot earn, a faith we do not deserve. But a faith that You give. And let us stand tonight where no one stands alone. For we are in Christ by our faith in His shed blood. Just worshiping tonight, church. Would you? I don't want to. I want the Holy Spirit to direct everything from this moment. But would you just lift your hands and begin to praise Him? Lord, pour out fresh faith as we, our hands just symbolizing our submission to You. Our hands being raised symbolize our helplessness, Lord. Us admitting we can't do it, Lord. We have no strength of our own, Father. And we humbly approach Your throne tonight, asking for Your strength. Asking for fresh faith to be poured into our hearts and lives tonight. And Holy Ghost, indelibly inscribe it on our souls tonight that Jesus loves us. We praise You tonight, dear Savior. Let Him bless you tonight. Let Him bless you. Glory to Your name, Father. Glory to Your name tonight, Father. Oh, Holy Ghost, thank You for the mighty, mighty work You're doing right now. Lord, thank You for the strength that You're giving right now. Thank You for the fresh faith that's being poured out right now. We give You glory tonight, Father. Lord, we're so helpless without You. We are, Jesus. Without the power of Your Spirit, we are so helpless. But let us never forget that greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. Let us never forget that the power that spoke the worlds into being indwells us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Remind us tonight, Holy Ghost. Remind us of whose we are. And remind us of His great love for us. As fresh faith is poured out into hearts and lives tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to Your name, Jesus. Glory to Your name, Jesus.